Now presenting.
And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
The Cinema Chicks Podcast.
Maybe I'm one of those people that has always wanted to do it, but it's like a pipe dream.
Totally bug it.
Snap out of it.
Starring Hope Johansson.
I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman.
And Madeline Rancourt.
Yeah, call me Lady Bird like Christine. You said you would.
Hey, I'm Hope.
Hey, I'm Madeline.
And we are the Cinema Chicks.
Hope, last night you saw the film we're talking about today.
Yes, I did.
I saw a completely different film.
Okay.
I saw 80 for Brady.
I have been dying to see that.
It's not our kind of movie. It's funny, I texted my dad because my dad is like, the Patriots are like his religion.
Okay.
Maybe like, I feel like not so much now that Brady is gone, but like I was born during a Super Bowl game and like everybody in the waiting room was like watching. I was not born during the Super Bowl.
My I was gonna say like your birthday's not in February.
No, it's not. My birthday's in, that shows how much I know about football. No, I was born during a Patriots game.
Okay,
not the Super Bowl, sorry. Yeah, clearly I'm not a football fan. But no, I was born during a Patriots game. Everyone in the waiting room was like watching the game.
That's insane.
And it's funny because my dad and I like auditioned for this like Patriots fan commercial, and like we told this whole story. We wore like all of our Patriots gear, and like we like set up like a backdrop like with like all of the Patriots stuff we own. We didn't get picked.
Lame.
I don't even know what the commercial ended up being. But I really wanted it because like I wanted to be in a commercial. And I was like, you know, with my dad, like that's kind of fun. But we didn't get it. That's besides the point. So that I was seeing this movie with Caleb, who has been on the podcast before. And because he told me, he was like, oh, like I'm going to see this movie. And I was like, oh, well, what movie? Like,
you're going to see a movie without me?
Yeah. Well, exactly. I said, what movie? And he said, 80 for Brady. And I was like, without me? And he was like, I didn't think you'd want to see it. And I was like, I will go see anything. And I'm offended that you will see a movie without me. I have to go to every movie with every person.
Exactly.
I should be synonymous with movies
exactly.
In your head. So I'm offended. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so we went to go see it. Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlinson, Sally Fields, Rita Moreno.
Who I love. All deeply.
Yes.
And the fact that they're all in a movie together is bananas.
It's a lot of fun. It's extremely cheesy. Guy Fieri, isn't it?
Love.
Which they say like Guy Fieri. And I'm like, what? I don't know. Like they were trying. I feel like he was probably like, that's not how you say my name. But then it just feels funny. Like they're like, Guy Fieri? And it's like, they just like put such an accent on it. It was kind of funny. Tom Brady's in it. He actually he produced it.
So that's, I'm like, so
of
funny.
Course. He just wanted a movie.
Little
about
ego
himself.
Trip.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a fun time. My Letterboxd review, I wrote, this is a movie that both my grandma and my dad would like. And
aww.
It is. And it's not my movie. And my dad, I told him I was seeing it. And he was like, that's not really an Oscar-worthy movie. Because he always jokes that I, you know.
Oh, you only watch Oscar-worthy
movies. That I'm
very
pretentious
movies.
With movies. And I'm like, okay, guilty. But no, it was a good time. I definitely won't see it again. But it's in that realm of like the Jane Fonda sort of like book club,
yep.
Which are making another one of those. That trailer played
Oh my
before.
God, really?
Yeah, with Diane Keaton and Jane Fonda and I don't know, you know.
You know what?
The classic older ladies who all have Academy Awards
exactly.
And then now are doing like a Sunday rainy day movie.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
which
exactly.
Which I really love. I think it's kind of wonderful even though, you know, they're like the cheesy, Hallmarky genre type of mm-hmm. movie. The fact that older women can be the protagonists of film still is
yeah.
kind of amazing because, you know, I could never imagine in like the 90s when we're having peak rom-coms or whatever that there would also be a rom-com starring someone in their 70s.
Yes, yes.
So I'm here for it. I think it gives us hope for long careers.
Yeah, and it's fun, like, love, you know, like, rom-coms. That was part of it. Jane Fonda's character, like, keeps getting married and then getting divorced. And she kind
love that for her.
Meets Harry Hamlin's character, who's, like, an ex-football player. And they
ooh.
She writes romance novels about Gronkowski. So it's really funny. And she does, like, a book signing. And Lily Tomlinson's character, we don't know about her love life, but she's battling cancer. And then the reason she wants to go on this trip is she has had more blood tests done, and she like thinks that it's coming back.
Oh,
so they basically there's like a sports news podcast, it's like radio show.
Okay,
and they're giving away 4 tickets to the Patriots Super Bowl in 2017, and they want to win it, and they don't. So she tells the girls, "We won," and she just buys,
and they just go,
yeah, because she buys the tickets herself, and she's like, "No, I won them," and they're like, "Oh my gosh, we won!" So it's cute, and then later they find out that the tickets were fake, and that
oh wait, that's kind of fun.
And they're like, "Oh my gosh, like you bought the tickets, like why'd you do that?" And she's like, "Cause I don't know how much time I have left," and but she lives, so it's good. But yeah, it's fun. I think it's a good time for it to come out. It's funny though, like during the credits there's a part where like they're joking like, "Oh well, when are you gonna retire, when are you gonna retire?" And like they're all asking each other, they're like, "No, I was asking him," and it's like Tom Brady at the end and he's like, "Oh well, I don't know." And it's funny because he literally announced his retirement this week. So
is it for real this time, or is it,
oh,
is he
knows,
faking out again?
Yeah, who knows. But it was fun. I told my parents that they should go see it, and my mom was like, "I want to." And it's an hour and 38 minutes, which is perfect for this kind of movie.
Perfect.
If it was any, actually could have been a little shorter in my opinion, but if it was any longer, I probably wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
So that was good. But you saw last night the film we're talking about today.
Yes, I did.
Woman Talking, which is written and directed by Sarah Polley, and it's based on the book by Miriam Tous.
And it's starring a pretty jam-packed cast yet again: Rooney Mara, Claire Foy, Jesse Buckley, Judith Ivey, Ben Whishaw, and Frances McDormand, who honestly
was in 2 seconds.
She was in,
and kind of the villain.
Yeah, she was in approximately 90 seconds of the movie, which I was a little mad at, because you know she's got billing. She,
yeah,
I think everyone who listens to the podcast knows by this point I love Frances McDormand.
Yeah,
she is,
we kind of went to this for her.
Yeah. I was really, I was ready for her to, you know, eat the scenery, chew it up, give us something really amazing.
But she also produced this, right?
She did.
Yeah, so I feel like she was kind of like in it because she wanted
like
to
a
be
cameo
part of it. Yeah, but I feel like she probably was one of these people that like knew it was in development and was like, "I want to produce it,"
which,
and then was like, "How can I like be part of it?" Because it would probably make me more upset if she produced it and she wasn't in it at all.
True.
Because then I'd be like, she could have been, she would have been perfect in that.
True. And honestly, yeah, like I do understand hearing the basic premise of this movie. I would totally throw my money in to produce it as well.
Written and directed by a female.
Written and directed by a woman. This is one of her first big films she's ever done too. Sarah Polley's also, she was an actor before. She had a pretty steady acting career. So like, okay, role model.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody living the life I want to live.
And there's only like one man in this we love.
Which I love Ben Whishaw too. He's such a cutie. But he like looked kind of odd in this movie. So I was sitting there through like the first, I don't know, maybe like 30, 45 minutes. And I was like, is that Ben Whishaw or is
it
not?
Wait, what else has he been in? I don't think I recognized him.
Really? He's been in a ton of stuff. He was in some of the Bond movies.
Paddington, the Danish Girl.
Yeah, he's in Paddington, Danish Girl, Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah, these are all things that I like know of, but I don't think I would have really recognized him.
TV show I watched.
Oh,
and he's also a theater actor.
Yeah, and he's in Fargo, so that makes sense with Frances McDormand. Wasn't she in Fargo?
She was in the
movie. Oh,
and
it's
the TV
show.
Okay. But also like little crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a big actor for theater.
Wow.
Lovely British fellow. But he just looked so weird in this movie. I was like, is it him? Anyway. Yeah. If I were a producer, if I were a director, this is a material I think I would have also totally wanted to get my hands on. However, I don't know how much I loved the end result of this iteration. Oh my gosh. And I'm just going to come out and say it. I feel bad that I did not like this movie as much as I feel I should have as a feminist, as a woman who also wants to be a director, as someone who would also be interested in working on a project like this, talking about this religious colony wherein all of the women are being drugged in the middle of the night and sexually assaulted by the men of their colony. And then they're told that it's actually like Satan who's doing this to them. Yeah, I would absolutely sign on for a project like this. However, being in the audience and watching it, I was kind of bored.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to be like, it's very dull. It's hard because...
Well, what is duller? The colors.
Oh my God.
The color grading is so, incredibly dull.
Yeah, I saw the trailer and I texted my friend who had seen it multiple times at festivals. And I was like, wait, does the color grading change in the movie? Because you know how sometimes it does that? Like Little Women.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
Little Women.
So I was like,
maybe. It moved a little Wizard of Oz moment, yeah. Black and white to Technicolor, you know.
No, and it never does. It just feels like a undergrad short film color grading.
Yeah.
And
I understand the purpose of it. Yeah. Wanting to make everything blue and dreary, but it...
But it made it, like, ugly.
It was hard to watch.
And I was like, there's a difference between, like, wow, I don't want to live this life. It doesn't seem... Like, of course I want to escape this. But then as a viewer, I'm like, I don't even want to look at this.
It made it really difficult to watch.
Yeah.
Which I've never had that experience with any... I've never really thought about color in a movie unless... It is because they're exactly. If it's
bringing up La La Land in every episode
thing, you know, or like if there's a shift in the color grading, like in Little Women, like you said, I found it distracting.
It was distracting,
and it made it a lot harder to get into.
Yeah, I think it's like, of course, every movie and the story is going to call for something else style wise, and this shouldn't look like Babylon, you know,
exactly.
be wrong, and that's of course like exciting and stimulating to your eyes, and like everything is visually stunning, and like this just, I don't know like what this could have taken from. I'm trying to think of something else that like kind of had this similar vibe but like achieved it well. I don't know, like maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like something else that did this better, because I just wasn't really a fan of it in that sense. But it's funny, I went with my friend Amber, who's also been on the podcast, and we left and she didn't realize that this, what is it, like 2012 or something? She thought this was like a period piece.
Yeah, no, I really thought it was a period piece too, until we get that little plot point in the movie where there's the man with the truck saying,
yes,
come out of your
for
houses
the census,
for the 2010 census.
Yes.
And I found that incredibly jarring and also so much more interesting, because it's like, oh my gosh, how are people
it really
still living like this and not being accounted for in the census? And then my mind was like, oh my gosh, what are there other colonies that are like this in the country still? And where are they, and how does this even work?
Well, yeah, I know they're not Amish, but like I have an Amish colony near me back home.
Yeah.
And like we drive by them all the time, and we are driving, but they are on their horse and buggy.
Yeah.
And it's just wild. And it's really fascinating too, to think about like these different lifestyles that people live. Even one of my professors this week was saying how like he's from Staten Island, and that he got his sweater from like a, I don't know, it was like a donation center or something, but like all the, it's like a commune.
Oh, interesting.
Like a community house on Staten Island. And I was like, wait, is it like for people that don't have homes? Or, and he was like, no, it's like they want to live there. They all live in this house together. It's a commune. And I was like, what? Like, I don't know. That stuff is so fascinating to me. And it makes sense. Like, but this is such an extreme of that. Like,
yeah.
I always, you know, I would have friends that would always joke in my theater class in high school of like, let's build like a theater commune and like just raise kids together and like have a pool of money. Like,
yeah,
we would joke about that, of like anarchy and whatever. But like, this is just another level, and it is fascinating because so many of these women, I mean, all of these women were born into this. They don't know another life, and it's really brave of them to leave that. And they're leaving, or they're trying to decide to leave. They do nothing, stay and fight, or leave. And that's what they're all voting for. And that's
the whole,
the women talking
plot of the movie.
The entire movie.
Entire movie is just them sitting in the hayloft having this discussion, which I love a one setting movie.
Yes.
I love, you know, the plot point of everybody.
Malcolm and Marie.
Being
I need to rewatch that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they're like, I don't dislike that trope in film. Mm-hmm. I love it. I eat it up. I think some really great things can come of it, but it really, I think you were right in the saying that it kind of feels like an undergrad short film, because I don't think there was...
That's so rude.
And no, but it's not, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there were enough arguments for them to expand upon for 104 minutes, because mm-hmm. it felt like everybody was going around in a circle. It was Claire Foy screams, they have a little laughing break, Jesse yeah. Buckley screams, uh-huh. then Claire screams at Jesse, and then Claire gets a little violent, and then Rooney Mara is like, but life is great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a baby even though I'm not married.
Yeah.
And there's the, you know, little romance between her and Ben Whishaw, who's the school teacher, who was this, I wish there was more, I know this movie's about women. However, his character was probably the most interesting one mm-hmm. there. His family mm-hmm. got excommunicated from the colony, and then he went to college, got himself educated, and came back.
Yeah.
For the purpose of being the school teacher yeah. for these people. I absolutely would have loved if we had a little more
yeah.
on that plot point, because that was much more interesting. Or the character Melvin, who used to be Nettie, who after...
Yes.
After they... Oh my gosh, the fact that you were carrying your brother's child is mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he was such an interesting character too, and I know it was about the women, but they were kind of getting on my nerves.
Yeah, I'm like, what are other people thinking if, like, this is what we're thinking? And usually this would be, like, Hope and Madeline's film, of course, but...
It just didn't do it for me.
No, it didn't really do it for me either. It just kind of was a little bland.
Drawn out.
Yeah.
That, like, there was interesting material there, too, and the fact that, like, Claire Foy walked a day and a half with her sick child on her back to get her mm-hmm. medicine. That was great, but that was also, like, 90 seconds of the movie, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hard. I don't think I would have wanted to see, like, more of the home life, because it wasn't about that. And, like, we saw the really horrific stuff, and that was yeah. enough. But, yeah, I just kind of felt like, okay, we're running in circles here talking about this.
Circles. I was and getting then, dizzy.
Like, yeah, and we're getting, like, all the different characters' perspectives, which were interesting, and we have, like, the younger girls and the much older women. I don't know if they needed to adapt it a little bit more from the book to come to screen. But, yeah, something about it, it's not really nominated for, like, anything, right?
It's nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm like, it's not being noticed. It's literally Best Picture.
It got nominated for Best Picture and... interesting. I feel like something else as
it won't
well.
Win Best Picture.
No, it's not going to win Best Picture. It was also nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Okay.
Was nominated for Best Screenplay and Best Original Score at the Golden Globes. I will say I did enjoy the score.
I'd have to listen to it again.
I wish it was a little.
Oh, it was kind of like.
It's kind of banjo.
Yes.
It was like wistful banjo.
Yeah, and that did fit really well into this. Yeah, I really think it comes down to the color grading.
That ruined it.
I really think it...
It might have.
That's what, like, kind of tipped me over the edge is, like, if the story is not there, and, like, the story was interesting, but it's all taking place in one place, then, like, I need something more visual. Maybe I'm a lazy viewer. I want something, like, interesting to look at, and it didn't...
And
the setting isn't really interesting.
No, it's not. But I think that's why there was some interesting cinematography in there. Like,
yeah.
While there was a voiceover, there'd be those, like, kind of weird sweeping shots of the kids in the field.
Yeah,
and,
true.
And all that kind of stuff. It did feel a little... avant-garde in that sense.
It was like to make us feel their sense of like stuck.
Maybe.
You know? Like I did leave feeling really empathetic because it was.
Yeah, that was. I mean, of
painful
course.
To sit there and figure that out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe the point was they feel dull and they wanted us to feel dull.
Nothing. Yeah, it ultimately they made the right decision by leaving, but yeah. I feel like that was also a decision they could have come to after 20-25 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think what would have made...
Which wouldn't have been easy. I get it. They left their whole lives, but...
Of course, but I think if... I think a better use of filling all of that time may have been to see more glimpses of them in their individual lives and home lives. I understand it was happening over the course of a day into the night, but still, if we were getting flashes of other things and seeing the boys play and be in school and people in church and all of that stuff, I feel like there could have been a little more insight into everyone's lives before this pivotal moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad about my feelings towards this movie.
I think my answer is... I would have liked this to be like a 40-minute film.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those that's like it's a short film, but it's like not a 10-minute film.
Right. Because there are meat on the bones. There's
or maybe like episodic would have been
episodic.
Better.
Oh, that could be interesting.
You know, I'm trying to be better about like it's not that I didn't like it. It's more I think it could have been better in a different
format.
And if it was like episodic and a different color grading, then this would have been my jam.
I completely.
Maybe like agree. 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Like the first, like
a scene
build
from
up.
A marriage.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah, exactly. Like a build up and then like the talking and then the leaving. And not even in the sense of like I couldn't sit there and watch all of it at once. More so like focusing on like they could have developed more.
Giving more of an arc.
Yeah.
And a shape. It felt a little shape. List.
Yeah. I did feel like, okay, I understand why they want to leave.
Of
I didn't
course,
need to like see more of the graphic stuff, but
no, it was plenty graphic.
Plenty and kind of jarring, and I don't know. What I remembered from the trailers were like, and it's also hard, we've talked about trailers a lot recently, but it's something I'm passionate about. But a lot of these films, like The Whale did the same thing where they do like a promo teaser where it's like kind of like shots of it before the trailer comes out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I never saw the actual trailer for this because I saw it pretty quickly after it came out. But what I remember was just like kind of like a voiceover and then like shots of them running in the field.
Yeah.
So like when it started and it was like blood in a bed and also like...
It's like, oh, good morning.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know how else they could have brought that into it. Maybe that shouldn't have been in the trailer anyway, but... I didn't really know that was part of this.
No, I did. I really did not expect it to be that.
That, yeah.
Graphic.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think we needed more of that, but yeah, more of the home life, maybe some of the good times so we see like
why it's so hard
for them to leave.
Because in my mind, I was sitting there and I'm like, you know, I get like, I think the most valid point was when one of the grandmothers was like, I was born here. This is all I've ever known.
Yeah.
I don't want to die here.
Yeah.
Let me die on the road.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you know what? That's a pretty valid point. That makes me understand a little bit more of why this decision to leave is so hard.
Right.
But for most of the movie, I'm sitting there and I'm like, girl, just pack up your stuff and go. Get out. If you have the gut, everyone in that room had the gut feeling of like, oh, we should probably leave.
Right.
And then it was just Claire Foy who was like, but I want to fight somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, love that for her. But yeah, it could have been a little more concise. Also, speaking of that voiceover that was in the trailer and how the movie starts, do you remember also in the beginning, then there's the text that comes on the screen that says the rest is a figment of the female imagination?
Yeah.
So it's been like haunting me. So I'm like,
so I don't think
was that
happened.
Whole movie a dream sequence then?
It makes me wonder, like, did they not actually leave?
Right. Or did they never meet and have a discussion like this and they were all just complacent and never spoke?
That's what I feel. That's what I feel like.
Well, I kind of hate that.
I know. It makes it harder
to
accept.
I would so much rather not have had
that. Because
it's
based
sentence.
On a true story.
Because it was so jarring. There was no text on the screen at any other point right. in the movie.
Right.
So it just felt very out of place.
Yeah, what I took from that was that this happens a lot, but that a lot of the women don't have the courage to leave.
And this is like, if they are like this.
I mean, I hope not many, but I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know about the colonies or the cults, but it was kind of cultish. But
I love a good cult documentary or whatever. Yeah. But like, it's just, I don't know. I kind of, even though they left and they escaped, I kind of left the theater sad. Almost.
Yes. Yeah.
Or maybe sore. It was just kind of sore. I felt like I was emotionally beat up a little too, but more so from everything spinning in circles. It's an odd feeling to describe.
Yeah, would we say this is Cinema Chicks approved?
If somebody asked me if they should watch this, yeah. I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, I would tell them to watch it.
But I would not go out of my way to say, you have to go watch Women Talk.
Yeah, no. I wasn't like texting anybody after being like, you guys, go see this. But like, if it's on HBO, like I'll tell my sister to like check it out.
Yeah.
But also I'll probably tell her to watch something else before.
Right, like if you're bored out of your mind and you would like to, you know, watch some good performances.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe I'd recommend it to someone who is like studying this.
Yeah.
This would be interesting. Or like if I was talking to somebody about colonies or like this sort of thing, then I'd be like, oh, this is like an interesting film about that and like the courage of leaving that. And, you know, there's also good documentaries, not about necessarily this, but similar, like leaving a cult and stuff like that. So yeah, I would say that I wouldn't say this is bad.
It's not bad.
I just probably wouldn't like run to see it again.
No.
Or wouldn't be like the first thing I'd recommend. But there's also just so many movies that like I'm gonna recommend anyway.
Yeah.
Like it kind of takes a lot to be like, oh, go see this. I mean, here I am. I'm like, I told my parents, you must see 80 for Brady. So I'm like, what advice am I giving? But like, that's a different kind of thing. But this is a heavy movie. And I think there's heavy, topical, good movies that do a better job than this one. And on that note, that's a wrap.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed, you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Cinema Chicks and on TikTok at Cinema Chicks.
And if you want to be friends, you can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Daisy Rancourt and on Letterboxd at Madeline Daisy.
Or you can follow me on Instagram at Hope Johansson and on Letterboxd at HJoha.
And before we end today, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Insane Hair Braiding Skills.
The Rage of Claire Foy.
And Frances McDormand's killer scar. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad we had that talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.